Welcome to Escape This Podcast, a show that's a mix between tabletop role-playing and escape room puzzles. We're now at episode 8 of this interesting season. It's been a different season than usual. We've had this alternating Danny room, guest room, Danny room, guest room. And I think it's been really fun. Yeah.
And assuming that everything's gone to plan and that we haven't lost any episodes or had to rearrange them for anything, you're being very ambitious.
I'm just
by
being
saying
ambitious.
That. Even by calling this episode 8. Wow.
Stay ambitious. And so that alternating pattern is going to continue. It doesn't end here. This episode, instead of having a guest come on to play through one of our rooms that Danny has designed out of her imagination, we have a guest who has designed a room out of his imagination or stolen it from somewhere. I don't know. He didn't brief me. And has brought it on for Danny and me to play.
I heard that hesitation.
I almost got the word wrong. So welcome to the show from Jetpack Theatre and BBC2's Only Connect, Jim Fishwick. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hello. Great to have you here.
It's great to be here and be accused of plagiarism straight off the bat.
Yay!
Well, that's just what we do. That's the service that we offer.
Thanks, gang.
This is like hard quiz in reverse. You're going to ask us all of these puzzles. We're going to viciously mock you.
Great. I can't wait.
That's what the show's about. Thank you for coming on. So you got in touch with us as of when this episode comes out. Months and months and months ago, but you had a room for us, which is great. This has been a really interesting season with a lot of people coming on with rooms. Why did you decide, like, what made you think to design a room and come on the show for us?
So it's really weird to be here and to see your faces and not just hear your voices. So I'm a fan of the show, and this is basically fan fiction, I guess.
Oh, I love thinking of it that way.
Yeah, aww. So thank you for reading my fan fiction of your podcast.
You know that I have had in the past someone write fan fiction of my fan fiction? So, big fan.
This is sort of an idea that I've had kicking around. And then you mentioned in one of the episodes, probably towards the end of the Culloden run, I think, that you were interested in having guest hosts. And I was like, okay.
I can do that.
If not now, then when? So here I am.
Yay.
The moral of the story is shoot for the moon. Follow your dreams.
Yeah, look, hey, if you're at home and you're thinking, oh, they're such big celebrities. They'd never want to have a room that I want to run. Tell us anyway.
If I can do it, you can.
And we'll sit in our lofty towers and consider it from above you.
How many playtests have you run of that room? I don't think it's ready for us. We run one playtest.
They'll invite you on the show and then mercilessly bully you.
That's the plan. That's what we do. So, always we start with the same two questions to everybody who comes on the show. I think it's still appropriate when they're guest hosts rather than guests. I think it still makes sense.
Yeah.
Which, to start with, is so this show is tabletop role playing and escape room puzzles. What is your escape room experience?
I've done a couple of escape rooms. I've done a fair few. And I was the director of an escape room that ran in Sydney called Art Heist.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, we almost did Art Heist.
Well, no, it was insanely sold out. We could not get anywhere near Art Heist.
I'm really sorry. So I was the director of that.
Nice.
Brilliant.
That's very cool. I'm sure there are people listening to this.
Oh, yeah, I should explain what Art Heist is rather than just sort of saying,
what Art Heist is.
So it was a variation on an escape room where instead of trying to escape the room, you were trying to break in. So a group of four people were breaking into a purpose-built art gallery that we created, and they had 45 minutes to sneak in, steal a painting, and get out again while distracting guards, dodging laser grids, fooling alarm systems, and things like that. So it was escape room mechanics and some more like improvised theatre, interactive theatre sort of elements.
Awesome. That's
which I'm sure we'll get into more in podcast This Escape.
Yes. Well, yeah, right. It'd be great to be able to talk about that. I'm sure there are people listening who went to Art Heist.
Oh, definitely. Like, we know some people who managed to get in and had nothing but amazing things to say about it.
Oh, I should have to. Well, they just hated it. They just thought, oh, it was terrible. Didn't make any sense. Oh, that's really cool. And the other aspect of the show, it's tabletop role-playing. We're here on tabletop. playing some roles.
We are standing on top of a table.
We're on top of the table. It's an interesting recording studio.
This is Dead Poets Society themed, this room, right? words that came out of my mouth, right?
So what is your experience, if any, in tabletop role-playing or tabletop gaming, things like that?
I've played a little bit of sort of Dungeons & Dragons here and there. I've played a lot of more sort of one-shot RPGs, things like Honey Heist, like that yeah, sort of like smaller sort of game. And then I've done some stuff that's more in the like LARPing kind of arena, both being in it and directing it.
Nice.
Is that more a Sydney or Melbourne thing?
More in Sydney.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm getting into some Sydney LARPs.
I don't know if LARPing is for me, but it's interesting.
It's like a LARP, but it's not live and there's no action. And the roles aren't really that defined. It's
and
just
we're
a play.
Not playing it.
We're playing. Yeah. So it's a play. It's a pee.
So it's
yeah.
That's what we got these pop filters for.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I think we can probably start the purr.
Yep. I've got my pen ready.
Let's do
it. Holding it and everything.
You know what? I'm not going to draw a rectangle. I'm going to see if maybe that's an inappropriate shape.
Yeah.
You're in a crescent moon shaped building. The door is at the tip of the crescent
moon. I notice also that you're using a clicky pen. Beware of that.
I'm ready. I had to click it back.
Yep.
You need to click it twice.
It's like an open bracket. You just need to close the other one. Let's get going then.
Woo!
The two of you had snuck in, assuming, hoping that no one important would be there on the weekend. I mean, you were only going to use the equipment for half an hour or so and then sneak out again. No one would get hurt. You'd be very careful with the gear. Nobody needs to know. It's not capital L legal, but it's not capital U unethical either.
I've got cheap gym goers written at the top of my badge.
From the corridor, you see that fortunately someone left the door to one of the studios ajar. You pop in and each sink into a chair. You have your headphones halfway raised to your head when the door opens again and someone enters. Button-up shirt, cardigan, glasses, a haircut that was in 2 years ago. Oh, you're here already. Great. I'm Jason. I'm filling in as the engineer this week. You're the hosts, right? The two of you are most certainly not the hosts, but you find yourself nodding in agreement anyway.
Of course.
You really don't want Jason to call security. Besides, maybe this could be your big break. Well, in that case, says Jason, give me a few minutes to set up the mixing desk and we'll get started. I've got a run sheet of the segments that the producer sent me, so we should be able to knock this over fairly quickly. Jason turns, pulls out the ID card dangling from his belt on a retractable cord, and beeps it against a panel by the door before exiting. The door closes behind him, and you hear the electronic lock click into place. The two of you exchange a glance before looking around the recording booth. You're going to have to figure out how to open that door again, somehow. But before you can make good your escape, the two of you are going to have to record an episode of whatever this show is without anyone realising you're not the hosts. So, Danny, Bill, can you escape this podcast?
Let's do it! I love it.
I've made a foolish error when trying to draw Jason. I accidentally gave him short sleeves, so now I can't draw arms because I just can't. Well, I have no rectangle thus far, so... what sort of things do we have around us in this studio?
Sure thing. Towards one corner, we have the door and the beepy swipey key point. Mm-hmm. And then on that wall next to the door is a big glass panel through which you can see Jason in his engineer's booth. Then on the there's a corner, and on the next wall is a small notice board. And in the corner next to that is a music stand. The next wall along is mainly given over to a large desk with some stuff on it. And the two of you are sitting either side of that desk facing each other. Mm-hmm. In front of each of you is a microphone, and in your hands is a pair of headphones. Above this desk is a big rectangular sign that says recording, and it's currently not lit up.
Oh, good.
The last wall has a large photo on it. Then finally, all the walls of the recording studio have large panels of angular foam padding hooked onto them at regular intervals along a timber rail, and that stuff is baffling.
Oh, I love it. I already forgot what's on the other wall because I was drawing microphones.
Photos.
Photo. Right.
Big photo.
Big photo.
Oh, I didn't leave myself room to draw headphones. Yes, I did. I'm perfect.
All right. So we need to get out and we need to just record an episode of this podcast.
Well,
I'll be Roman Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the law professor who lives next door to Roman Mars.
That's perfect.
And we'll do an episode of Trump Con Law.
Yep.
Perfect. Done.
Got it. I'm got all it over
all
it.
Organized. And I'll, just be, to, I'll just, be Griffin McElroy.
Just to warm up, to show how ready I am to talk about con law from the expert's perspective, I spin around on my chair and look at the music stand.
Great.
You know, I'm so ready.
There might be a script. Shut up.
As you spin around to face the music stand, you see Jason knocking on the large pane of glass. And he's making a gesture like he's dragging invisible tennis balls across his cheeks and then holding them to his ears.
Okay.
Or that he's asking you to put on your headphones.
I look for any tennis balls.
You find tennis balls and have right. play a quick game of tennis. Anyway.
I put my headphones on.
Great.
Yeah, likewise.
So Jason says, alrighty, so you probably know this better than I do, but the first thing on the list is to record an intro to the episode. Jen, the producer, says it's usually just the title of the show and a quick summary of what it's about. Then she says there's usually just a bit of banter. So I need about 5 more minutes to finish setting up the board. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Okay.
5 minutes to come up with some banter. Oh my God.
Title about.
That's so much scarier than the other stuff.
Banter. It's all good. It's all good. We're the hosts.
So on the music stand, yes. Danny, oh, there please. Are a couple of pieces of paper on the stand, each with a paragraph of text casually written in blue biro. So someone had been in here recording something for their show, but they hadn't tidied up. Rude.
Oh, rude.
Looking closer, you realise that someone at the network clearly didn't like whatever that piece of paper had said. The blue writing is covered in a layer of hasty scribbles in a red pen, making it almost illegible, with a comment at the bottom. In jokes aren't funny, 3 exclamation marks. Security is everyone's responsibility, 3 exclamation marks.
Was that 3 exclamation marks each?
Yes.
In jokes aren't funny.
I will save you time. The exclamation marks aren't important to the puzzle. They're just character beats for emphasis. Okay.
Right. Security is everyone's responsibility. I don't know if that was the actual sentence.
Yep. Good remembering.
And then it had 8 exclamation marks.
Sure, why not?
It's very important, Danny.
My pen's running out.
I think we should focus on
those. My pen's running out. I don't have enough for all these exclamation marks. Thank you.
Okay. In jokes aren't funny, so we won't put any into our banter. Was that all? So we can't read the paragraphs that have all been scribbled out. Is that for all of them? Did you say there were multiple paragraphs?
Yep.
Multiple pages? Can't read any of it. Okay. We need something that gets rid of red ink, but not blue ink. Mm. Do you want to check out the notice board?
Yeah, please.
Sure thing. So it's a cork pin board with a few things pinned on it because it's a pin board. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of funny photos of celebrities who visited the studio. There's a clipping from a magazine and there's a laminated piece of paper, which is a notice because it's a notice board.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pin board.
Ha ha, the duality of man.
What does the notice say?
So pinned to the notice board is an announcement from the building's head of security. It's got little clip art illustrations dotted throughout it to make
Danny,
it seem
more
approachable.
Danny, this is everybody's responsibility if you come over and have a look as well.
Understood.
It reads, attention all staff, following a recent security review, please note the following changes to our security protocol. 1. All staff members must carry their staff ID on them at all times. This now also functions as your swipe pass for locked doors. 2. All studio doors are now locked by default when closed. 3. The phone number for the security control room is now located on the staff intranet. For any security-related questions, please telephone the security control room. Yours sincerely, Eric Thaddeus Foy, Head of Security.
What a fancy name.
All right, security control room. Eric, it could be a clue. I don't think it is.
No, it's just an anagram of head of security.
Oh, look at that. Beautiful.
My God, you're right.
My God, he's right. What a coincidence.
I know.
How serendipitous.
It's like anagrammatic nominative determinism.
Oh.
If you discovered that your name was an anagram of a job, would you just take that job?
Well, what's the job?
I didn't bring my phone. I can't find out.
Okay, cool. So we need to get a swipe card to get out because the door is locked and we can get the phone number off the intranet, which we do not have access to, probably.
I assume. Do we have our own phones or anything like that?
Let's say no.
Cool.
Good. Okay.
And going through the other real world escape room things that you'd have to do, is there anything like on the undersides of our chairs or the table or anything like that?
Sorry, can you just remind me who's sitting in which chair?
Oh, that's a good question.
So there's, I'll just, as a reminder, so there's chair, I've called it chair one, is on the side of the desk closest to the door. Mm-hmm. And then chair two is on the other side.
I am on the other side.
Okay, I'm closest to the door.
Great.
So I'm checking onto my chair.
Great. You feel some steel, some plastic, some stretched fabric. It's the underside of a chair. I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, I'll check under my chair.
You can't do that. That's game. That's meta.
So, Bill, you get your fingers right up in the underside of the chair and just whoever sits there has been habitually sticking gum on the underside of your chair. You pull out, it's like pink bubble gum, and there's some of that on the like underside of the table near where they sit as well.
Anything stuck to it? Like a security
your
ID card?
Fingers.
Gummy chair.
We're going to need this gum later.
Oh,
and I'm not going to give it to you. There's still plenty to look at.
We haven't the table? Is the underside of the table gummy
that had,
or
yeah, that had gum.
Clean? It was that
just
was
on Bill's side.
Ah.
It was gummy.
Whoever sits in your chair is very nice and tidy.
And doesn't even notice the gum disaster going on the other side. All right, what else is there? Photos. We can look at the big photo.
Hanging on the wall is a large photo of around 60 people, all wearing company-branded T-shirts for the all-staff photo. All of them are nonetheless trying their best to look like the coolest person in the organisation by looking disaffected or ironically like a dork. There's a caption at the bottom with everyone's names and their roles.
Who am I? 60 people.
Can you just list those out for me?
Yeah, it's Abigail, who's
Abigail.
A cleaner.
Abigail.
Brendan, who's the dog manicurist.
You're going to have to fit more age. We've got 60 people to get through. Okay, cool.
Can I find Eric Thaddeus Foy in that picture?
Yeah.
How does he look? Does he seem happy?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, he gets paid award weights. The award is waiting for him for being the best head of security.
Okay.
All right, what next?
Well, we haven't looked at the door. So let's look at the door.
I am glad you asked. I know you like looking at the door.
See?
The door is made of a very solid timber, and it has sort of thin tracks of rubber around the edge to help keep the sound out. It also has some more of that angular foam padding on a panel hanging next to it. Just to the right is the swipe pad reader thing with a little LED light for when it gets swiped. It kind of looks like the plastic panel around a light switch, I guess, which is appropriate because next to it is an actual light switch. Oh, and in the corner is the doorstep that was keeping the door ajar so that you could sneak in the first place. So just preempting the people who will be tweeting at me about plot holes.
So it's got like a panel with foam, with like foam stuff on it.
Yeah, just the soundproofing.
Just like attached to the door as part
of
the door?
Just to help deaden the room.
Cool. It's not like a removable panel with a code written on underneath.
You can remove it.
Oh, I remove it.
The sound in the room gets slightly echoier. Audiophiles hate you.
Rookie error.
And on the back it says, Brendan, the dog lover, has the key.
This is why it's a heavily edited show.
Please stop reading my notes.
Ah.
No, there's nothing on the back.
Okay.
That's a tip I learned from a pro.
Okay.
How much will Jason be paying attention if I turn the lights off?
Let's find out.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn the lights off and just watch him.
You don't know if that's what the switch does.
Oh, good point. I'm assuming that what I'm going to do is switch the lights off and then just stare at him. And then as soon as any sort of indignation or confusion enters his expression, I'm going to turn it back on and then just pretend nothing happened.
Okay.
You look around the room for darkness clues.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm turned. I'm looking at the room for darkness clues.
All right.
Okay. The lights go out. The room is slightly darker. The light from Jason's engineer room is spilling out, and you can see Jason backlit by that light, looking kind of peeved.
Oh, no, I forgot I can't click.
I forgot to mention that it's a light switch operated by a click sound.
Okay, thank you.
Any darkness clues?
I got one good click out.
No darkness clues. Okay.
Or should I say, not yet?
Ooh.
Should I say that?
I don't know.
You'll find out.
Know. Okay. We've seen the photo, we've seen the notice board, we've seen the recording stuff, the table. We haven't really looked at like the microphone or the headphones in case there's anything interesting with those, which we can do.
That's true.
Music stand done, door looked at. We haven't really looked into the booth, just like stuck our faces up on the glass.
That's what I was going to do next, like be examining the glass. So going up to the glass, first of all, I will actually look at the glass. And then once I'm done looking at the glass, if that doesn't do anything, I'm going to pretend to be, like, examining the glass to test its sound quality. Just, you know.
Dung, dung. Mm, yeah,
exactly. But I'm going to be having a good eye about what Jason's going up to.
Great. Jason is plugging things into the soundboard and moving the sliders into place like you see in a music video
that's filmed in a studio. It's all the sliders.
Yeah, he's just moving all of them up at once.
I understand what all of these things do.
Oh, look, me too. It's there's some coiled mic cables and then a rack of different audio equipment and a chair for Jason to sit on.
Of course.
And then on the table, there's one of those, I want to call them like a supermarket clean up on aisle five type microphones.
You're right.
And it's got a little button in front of it, and that's how he talks to you into your headphones.
Awesome.
Lovely. All right. So the recording sign, it is off at the moment. But is there
it
anything?
Is because you're not recording.
Yes.
So... it's up on the wall above the desk in clear line of sight of everyone who might come in and start making unnecessary noise. Mm-hmm. It's a rectangular light box with the letters cut out of the front that spell recording. Yep. Then behind the cutout letters, there's a layer of red cellophane that gives the light that signature ominous scarlet glow when it turns on.
Gotcha. Good thing I've got a red pen.
And also, yeah, if we checked out the actual like headphones themselves or the mic, are they just a headphone and microphone? Is there anything interesting written on them?
They're
branded with the name of the show.
The microphones, you've each got a high quality microphone. They're each on a boom arm, so you can position them any which way you choose.
It's hard to imagine.
They're in a like fancy cradle type thing, and they've got one of those foam covers on them, like a beanie. That's what we call them in Australia. I don't know what they're called overseas, but like
oh my god, some countries have weird names for them. I can't remember what they are, but I remember I being totally like, thrown.
It came up in Adventure Zone that sometimes they're called toboggans.
That's right. Toboggans, oh my god,
which is hilarious because that's not what a toboggan is.
Or in the UK, a bobble hat.
Bobble hat.
But when they don't have a bobble on the top, then it's a bobble hat without a bobble. so they've got one of those on foam covers slipped on top of them to minimize your plosives and sibilance.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I feel like there's nothing else to search. We could tear all the baffling off the walls.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't want to do that because we've been told we're escaping, so not destroying. But are there any that feel like if we gave them a jiggle... they would just conveniently fall off.
All of them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Don't jiggle them. Don't you jiggle those.
We haven't got to the desk itself yet.
What's on the desk?
Yeah, I searched under the desk, but not the desk.
At the desk.
There is. I even drew random little circles to indicate there is random stuff on this desk.
So on one side of the desk, I'm going to say, Danny, on your side, there is a computer. And Bill, on your side, there is a landline telephone.
Yeah, those were important things.
Yeah, those are big.
Oh my god, I can't draw a computer that's not from 1991.
Yeah, all computers, when you draw them, need to be from 1991. This computer is running Windows 2.1. Probably too late for 1991. It's running DOS. It's a DOS computer.
Mine is clearly running DOS because I haven't even given it a mouse. Does it have a mouse?
Yes.
Fine.
With left and right buttons and a scroll wheel.
Whoa.
That's
okay.
Fancy.
That's newer than everything
this
else.
This is turning into my game show voice. You could be going home with a mouse with a scroll wheel.
All right. Now for the other fun part. Bring a landline.
The phone, it's in its little cradle. It's got
a handbag.
So you're looking at a landline phone. Wait, are your characters younger than 10?
Yes.
Okay, great. I need to describe what a landline phone is to you.
I don't know. I think that age cutoff is higher than 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's 15-year-olds out there. Landline? What's a landline? Snail mail? Why would you give your mail to a snail? It's so slow.
Paper? I can't paper. Scroll this.
I hardly knew her. Is the computer on?
No.
Can I?
The computer is asleep. Or maybe it's dead.
Move the mouse.
No, it's asleep.
Yeah, I will give it a little... Press some buttons and move the mouse at the same time.
Sure thing. A computer turns on, revealing a lock screen.
Of course.
That says, enter emergency combination for emergency exit information.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I'm going to say it's like a contemporary computer, despite what we've been saying. It's like it's a podcast studio. They would have like slick, and it's got slick software on it. So it's like they've paid for a copywriter who says like, hey, I know you're trying to log in, but just enter the emergency exit combination and we'll be on our way, smiley face.
I was going to say, if it's that modern, it's probably just all in emojis. There's just a door, a shrugging person.
Okay. And presumably the telephone works if I.
Yep.
You put it to my ear.
Oh no, I can't trill. How do you?
I'm gonna make a phone sound for you.
I can't do it.
They sound like clicking. I'm just gonna. Okay. I stand so that I wave at Jason. And then I point over. I don't put my headphones on at all.
Okay.
And then I point over the computer.
Yeah.
And then I go, and I shrug.
Jason sort of points at the intercom.
Oh, fine. I put my headphones on.
Press the intercom and says, I don't know, man. I just work Saturdays.
I type in Saturdays.
I
type in, I don't know, man. I just work Saturdays.
It works. The computer. No, it doesn't.
Jason's an idiot.
You get a boop boop.
Man, it makes noise and everything.
So we got a computer that we can't get into because we need a passcode about security. Did we get anything from that security? We can put in something about everyone's responsibility. That's vaguely associated. Mm. To see if that's like security. Well, that's everyone's responsibility. Mm. That's the password for security. But I'm assuming that doesn't work.
I considered
work.
That.
I try it.
Beep, boop. Damn. It's becoming a very musical call and response here.
They get like that. On that notice board, there were some photos and a mag. Oh, what?
Yeah. There's magazines.
Yeah, a magazine clip out.
Something about celebrities. Yeah.
I was going to look at the magazine clip out.
The magazine clip out. It's a glossy double page spread, neatly cut out of a magazine.
Oh, that's bigger than
I. Most of the two pages are given over to a puff piece profiling the founders of the network. Then at the side is a listicle listing the writer's favourite podcasts on the network.
Ooh.
And I have a piece of paper for you.
Oh, it's a listicle.
Oh,
with
it's so fancy.
A list of.
Would you like to read paper, Manny?
I bet we go one at a time.
Okay.
Having to do paper shuffles between them. That's a terrible idea. So the first one, Further Ado, the network's flagship interview show profiling the people whose lives you need to know.
The next one is Any Questions? Listeners call in with the questions they can't find answers for anywhere else. We do have a phone that could be our show.
Button Mash. Exploring the impact of technology and the internet on our lives and how it's changed the way we behave.
Oh. Well, actually, two lovable weirdos. Oh, that's us.
No.
In search of the most obscure Wikipedia pages out there. That sounds
like
a show we could
like
do.
Oh, that sounds like us.
I know if you reach the next Patreon goal, you're opening a second podcast, so feel free to take any of these.
We need to do a YouTube show, right? Because one of the games that we love to play, people at home, which you should play yourself. If you listen to this, this is a new game for you to play. It's great. You need to play...
It's called Join Patreon and back us.
You need to play Wikipedia Charades. It's wonderful. you just go to a random article... You just hit random article and then you use charades rules to try and have them guess what that is.
Now, more often than not, the random page that you go to will be a 100-person Polish village with a 16-syllable name.
That requires a lot of sounds like. Keep going through the alphabet. Yes. It's so much fun. It's wonderful.
That's great.
The other one is Cards Against Humanity charades. It's a slightly different turn, but it's just as hilarious. Whose turn was it?
Your turn.
Australian Gothic, unexpected dispatches from uncanny corners of a land down under.
It's like the TV show Strange Calls. That was a great show that ran for one season and then got cancelled. The Fancast, weekly roundup of the coolest things about our favourite cooling devices. It's a literal fan cast.
Oh yeah, it's a joke.
I'm not hosting this one. I don't get to be bullied. Can you keep a secret? Verbatim readings of confessions, inner thoughts, and diary entries sent in by listeners. And finally,
pros and cons, but that's pros with an E. But not where you'd expect it. Two friends debate the best and worst of classic English literature.
So, your podcast is going to be one of those. But which one is it?
Mm. All right. It could be any of them. But it's probably not further ado, because we don't have anyone to interview. We also don't seem to have any diary entries given to us. So it's probably not Can You Keep a Secret? There are no fans in the room. We don't have dispatches. We do have a computer to search Wikipedia pages. Mm. So I think it's well, actually.
It could be. It's entirely possible. Oh, but is there a way to know more for certain?
Well, what's there was something else on the was there something else on the notice board that we've missed? There was the magazine.
Yeah,
and then celebrity photos.
Some celebrities who've been on the show and.
What are they? How many pictures?
There are three pictures.
Ooh.
Of sort of minor music stars and a comedian who's on tour and someone who got famous because their dog is cute and they made an Instagram account.
Sure, sure.
But there's always the same two people, like, in the shot with them.
Well, that seems like they're interviewing people. Music stars, comedian, and...
Dog.
Dog boy. All right, now where would they be on? Well, I mean, that seems like we're interviewing people for further ado.
Hmm.
No, dog boy. You like having a dog?
But we're certainly not doing that right now.
Maybe they're here to tell us a secret. I hate dogs. I know I'm dog boy, but I hate dogs.
I just got genuinely anxious that your dog was going to come into the room and hear that and then sort of like pull a sad face. Turn around and walk out. Yeah, so it's a bunch of photos, a couple of celebrities, then the same two people okay, in the photo with them.
That implies we could have guests. Maybe that means it's further ado. Because, although who needs to know the life of Dog Boy, really? Really? I mean, of all lives, Dog Boy? Come on.
Mm.
Come on. Okay, well, that's a hint at the very least. as long as we say it slowly enough. Jason goes, welcome to Further Ado. Yeah, where Dog Boy talks.
I was just looking to see if there was an acrostic for that, and I go, Fab?
Fab?
What?
Fab Watch?
Fab
Watch?
It's almost Fab Watch.
Fab Watch.
That's not the name of one of the
welcome
shows,
to
so
our
it doesn't
Queer
help,
Eye
but...
fan cast.
Yeah. Yeah, are there any puzzles where we're skimming over in this thing? I don't know if there are. Well, give us a chance to be dumb. Maybe there is.
Okay.
Maybe Jim's tricking us. He's trying to trick us.
This
is full of puzzles. It's one of those game masters. Oh, well, you shouldn't. I didn't say nup and uncross my fingers. Look, he's got his arms crossed right now. Everything he says is a lie.
But I've got my fingers crossed as well, so they cancel each other out. Ha ha.
Okay. I don't know what to do, Danny. Let's kick the door down. I hear in some rooms that's the way out.
I'm drawing a picture for the puff piece.
You're drawing the okay.
Well, you know, puff pieces always come with like a sexy photo of whoever it's about. So I'm drawing the leader of the radio station with his hands in his pockets and long flowing hair.
Okay, done.
No face though.
Well, the door opens.
beep beep. Nice the computer picture. Unlocks. The door opens, and you call security all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Danny, what do we do? Solve it. Solve it for me.
I don't know. Wait, we've got a phone, but we knew who we could need to call for things, but we didn't have their number anywhere, did we?
No. We don't. It's on the internet, which we could also get on the computer.
Ah.
But the computer, we need a password to get in. We still have the music stand with the stuff on that. I don't know if we can do anything with that yet. Like, I'm assuming we can't just, like, hold it up to various lights and see the blue through the red. I don't think that's how pens work.
The recording thing has red cellophane.
Ooh, yeah.
Is there some way that we can make that help to color out the red biro?
If we turn the... Oh, we can't turn the recording light on. But does the cellophane help?
Can we get access to the red cellophane?
So at the back of the recording light is a narrow gap, and it looks like the whole frame of the box could be pulled away from the wall to change the light bulb, but it's a very narrow gap. Your fingers can't reach.
But the paper can go into the gap.
No, the doorstop can wedge in.
With a small heave, the frame comes away and the red cellophane flutters to the wall.
Whose idea worked?
Sorry?
Whose idea worked there?
Yours, the doorstop. I'm going to give you a bit of a nudge, if that's all right.
Okay.
So you have the photos of the regular hosts for this room.
Yes. Mm.
You also have...
a photo of people's names and all of that, like, to match to people's names.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
with like, their jobs.
Yeah, what show they're on. Of course, you have a photo to match to a photo. And we also have a picture of the pod of the network founder with flowing hair and his hands in his pockets. It's canon
Told
now.
Told you, pictures are important.
Good point. Okay.
I'm a fool. That photo of all the people is the one thing I don't have drawn on my notes. I've got it on my map, of course, but I've drawn bigger versions of everything except that photo. No wonder I forgot about it.
Well, let's do that. Do you want to try and use the cellophane on this writing first?
No, we've done our achievement for that. We accessed the cellophane. We don't need to worry about it for a while.
All right. Let's go over the photos.
Okay. Can we match up those faces?
Get right up close to the star photo, and right in the middle of the photo, you see someone whose face you recognize from being in the celebrity photos, and someone next to them whose face is more or less obscured by a large pink balloon of bubblegum. You cross-reference their location with the caption to find out the bubble blower's name is Jesse, and Jesse is one of the hosts of a show called Australian Gothic. You do more cross-referencing and find the other host of Australian Gothic is called Alex.
All right, so this show that they think that we are is Australian Gothic, which was unexpected dispatches from uncanny corners of a land down under.
All right, in that way longer than 5 minutes, we are now ready to go to air if Jason turns around and tells us that we have to.
Jason is sort of knocking, you have been hyper-focused on this photo and you have missed the knocking from Jason. He's sort of like gesturing to the intercom.
Just before we start, though, as I slowly walk over, can we see those pages? Maybe they've got some of the dispatches that we need to read.
If Jason is like banging
on
the glass.
Fine, I sit down and put my tennis balls on my ears.
He's banging on the glass, but I do that gesture that I can't do this on a podcast. It doesn't work, but I just like point to my ear and go, I can't hear you, and shrug.
I like how you not only made a gesture, you didn't say what you were. I can't hear you gesture. Now who's getting bullied?
I really like I can't hear you as just an universal gag, but apparently on a podcast it can't be done.
I'm sorry. I say no to bullying and yes to friendship. Jason says, okay, ready to go. You done with looking at yourself in the photos?
Yes, okay, I am. Great. And I am Alex, I guess.
Really?
Well, I was Alex was the male one, I think.
Didn't even consider
they're both
it.
Fairly
I just
gender
spelled,
neutral names.
They are. I assume that is intentional.
So Jason presses a button on his desk, and the recording
it's
light.
Around this. You say we are.
The recording light comes on, but is now blinding bright white light, and you hear Jason over the intercom like, what happened? Never mind. We don't have time. I'm behind already. So just record an introduction.
Jason, you know podcasts aren't live, right? Like
we only have the room till a certain time.
Oh, what, are they going to kick us out? Get out of here, Jason.
Or I will get in trouble. So,
ladies and gentlemen, we are Jesse and Alex. Welcome to Australian Gothic.
A show in which we respond and answer unexpected dispatches from uncanny corners of a land down under. That's Australia, folks.
I wonder if... what country would be Australia's down under?
Toon Gabby. Remember from a few weeks ago? What an in-joke.
Oh no, we're losing him.
Over the intercom, Jason says, I think you trailed off of there, but I can edit it out. It's fine. Yeah, that should work.
Appreciate it.
So we'll go straight to the next segment, which is... actually, hang on. Sorry.
Oh, wait, there was meant to be some banter. How's your week?
That wasn't the banter. Oh, nope. My God.
How's your week? Having fun? What did you do this week?
Sorry, I saw Danny visibly flinch.
This is when a game master, I can't improvise. Well, I listened to all those other podcasts, but they're bad, so don't.
Well, they're on the same network, so do. I had a fun run-in with a pigeon. It flew into my head. And it fell down onto the ground. I thought it was dead. Turns out I was dead. I'm a ghost. I've been a ghost for 10 years. All right, Australian Gothic. So, now what was that next section, Jason?
That got surreal at the end.
That's the flavour of the show. Don't you listen?
I just work Saturdays. All right. look, I'm sorry. I've got a lot of... there's a lot of content out there. I can't listen to everything. So I just need to get the next segment ready. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Give me one moment.
Yeah, of course.
Quickly, it's cellophane time.
Yeah, let's cellophane it up.
So, get rid of this crap. We don't need it.
Call me John...
Trash the place.
Call me John C. Reilly, because I'm Mr. Cellophane. Let's do it.
So you put the cellophane over the piece of paper and the red scribbles... disappear as if by magic.
God, I feel smart.
And you can see that someone has been writing the intros for their podcasts that they're doing. They look to be from a techie sort of podcast. You'd guess it's the one called Button Mash. One of the episodes is about the impact of microtransactions in video games, one about right-wing extremism on YouTube, one on data-driven baseball management, and one about trying to track down a spam emailer. And I have for you a piece of paper.
Physical things.
Do you want to read these again? Swap it off one at a time?
One of them's got a Danielle in them. This is weird. All right. So there are only four of these things. So episode title, Insert Coin. Hated and beloved by fans and shareholders respectively, microtransactions have become a core part of the business model for lots of video games in the last few years.
Boo, 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 boo. I have a boo button.
This week on Button Mash, we explore the rise of games as a service and the people campaigning against them.
All right. The next one, Alt Wrong. Spend enough time on YouTube and the algorithm starts serving you recommendations for increasingly niche and disturbing videos. This is how millions of watchers have been sucked down a rabbit hole of far-right extremism. This week on Button Mass, a cohort of leftist YouTubers are out to de-radicalize the alt-right with sexy results.
Yeah, I like these personalities that we've got going. All right, episode title, Control of the Ball. Baseball used to be a domain of the jocks, but like in the early 2010s, a takeover was attempted by those who traditionally despised it. The nerds. Statisticians came armed with pages and pages of information about what made for a winning game. This week on Button Mash, can the stats get a home run? Or do they need to run home?
With sexy results.
Yeah, beat that.
Return to sender. Every day for 2 years, Danielle's received dozens of spam emails with invitations to dating sites, deals on vape rigs, promises of riches from unentered lotteries, that kind of stuff. One day, Danielle wondered, oh, who's sending these and why? This week on Button Mash, we meet just that person.
You hear a voice in your ears. Jason has pressed the intercom button.
Hi, Jason.
Right, sorry about that. So we'll tackle the ad reads next, if that's all right. Did Jen send you the list of this week's sponsors?
No.
Oh, okay.
Typical Jen.
Bloody Jen. I know you only work Saturdays, but she's Jen every day.
I wish she only worked Saturdays.
She's my boss. I can't say a word against it. I might get fired, especially while the mics are on.
Oh, crap.
Our sting operation didn't work.
Jason says, well, I've got a copy of them here. So, okay, no, this is the one which only has a riddle for the name of each sponsor.
Bloody Jen.
So would you mind just solving?
Riddle Jen,
would you mind just
her.
Solving these? All right,
sure.
Okay, here goes.
Send it through. Tell us what's going on, Jason.
All right. So the first one: what we'd call Mel B or Emma, if they were an attendant to a knight, and then if I swap with Australia's premier, it certainly makes quite the sight.
Oh my God! Okay. I got the first two lines and I went, yep, cool, I'm getting this. And then it kept going.
I've got the first. Right, okay, so I've got Spice Page.
Oh, I was going Sir Spice.
That's an assistant. They're an assistant.
Oh, did
tonight.
It say assistant?
So they're a Spice Page.
All right. So,
do you want me to read it again?
Please.
What we'd call Mel B.
A Spice Girl.
Or Emma.
A Spice Girl.
If they were an attendant to a knight.
A page. A Spice Page.
Okay.
Or Page Spice.
And then if I swap with Australia's premier, it certainly makes quite the sight.
Space Page. So the Spice Page, the I, swaps with Australia's premier, which I'm assuming is the first letter of Australia, which is A. Cryptic crossword style. And it's Space Page, which is a site, www.space.page.
Dot space dot page?
Yeah.
That's
that
www.space.page. Space Page.
Let's just say Space Page. I like it.
Is there a further step to this? It's not Space Page, is it?
It's not Space Page.
Squarespace.
Yes.
Where did the square come from? Just because it
so
is
So what's
space
another
page?
Word for an attendant to a knight?
Squire.
Squire.
So you got Squire Spice.
Yeah, became
I was
Squire
trusting
Spice.
You.
Squire Spice. It's already there. We don't need to go any further with the clue. The first sponsor is Squire Spice.
I didn't think it was going to be Space Page because I was going, come on, it could literally be anything if it's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's Squire Spice. Next one.
So in the intercom, Jason turns on the recording light and says, okay, so can you record an ad for Squarespace for me?
Yes. So, our first sponsor is Squarespace. You want the website? Websites are good.
Popularly used by Hank Azaria.
Squarespace is your all-in-one platform for making dumb websites. Want a real bad website? Use Squarespace. It's ironic. Don't worry, Jason. They get it. That's what they signed up for. They know our style.
Jason sort of goes... Okay, all right.
A job for editing.
Danny, I've got this square, but I don't know where to put it. I need some kind of location that a square could go into. Do you have one for me?
Jason comes in over the intercom. Sorry, who's Danny?
Because the thing said Danny on it earlier. I got confused.
What thing?
No, this piece of paper I found said
no,
Danny.
No, you don't.
Doesn't matter. Hey, Jesse, I got this square. I need to put it somewhere. Where could it go? Do you have a location for this... shape? Where does it go?
No.
All right, next sponsor.
The desperation in your eyes there, Bill, was exactly what I imagine when someone has had to do like 100 ads for Squarespace and they need to think of something fresh to say each time. Anyway, Jason turns off the recording light. Here's riddle number two. This one's a limerick.
Oh, okay, good. That's easier to remember.
You're out at a restaurant to dine on some beef to go with your wine. But if you ask and pay for the male, not the heifer, I guess you do this, which sounds fine.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
I've got it. I've got it. I'm ready to go.
Seriously?
Yep. I'll just sit back and you solve the rest of this riddle.
I need things written down. You have a better
ear brain than I
do.
I'm going to write the answer to this riddle. I'm just going to put it down here.
Yeah, you have a good ear brain. I do not.
And I'm going to just fold that away. And that's my answer. And I'm going to uncover it when you have solved this riddle. There we go. Done. I'm ready.
Can you say it again?
You're out at a restaurant to dine.
Yes.
On some beef to go with your wine. But if you ask and pay for the male, not the heifer. I'm not going to try and fudge the rhyme this time.
The heifer.
I guess you do this, which sounds fine.
What?
It's Squarespace again. So ordering
uh-huh.
in a restaurant
uh-huh.
to get food.
Yes.
But we're getting the mail of the beef that we're going to eat.
Yes.
Which would be, what would the male version of beef be?
Bull?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are we doing with it?
It just says
audible here oh. on this piece of paper.
That's the most arrogant magic trick I've ever seen.
I gotcha.
Jason comes in over the intercom. Great, so you can just record a little audible promo for me there.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Sorry, recording I can't light comes you. On.
Ah, yeah, it's funny. That's a good. Well, let's do that.
Because I don't have audible. Ding.
Hi, I want a book, but I don't have any eyes anymore. My eyes fell out. Whoop! There they go, rolling down the street. How am I going to read a book now? Jesse? What do I do?
The Latin word audere means to listen or to hear.
My eyes fell out. I need to read a book, and I still don't know where I'm going to put this big square. What do I do?
I think it's a third declension, but I can't remember. Oh, no, it can't be a declension. That's for nouns.
Go to audible.com/AustralianGothic for 10% off your first 3 months and like a book or something. I don't know. Read a book with your ears. Do it. Audible.
The recording light goes off. Jason says, great. Thank you. That'll do. All right. Last one. Number 3.
Okay.
This one's a haiku.
Okay. Even better. They're getting shorter.
Make an invite list because, hey, imagine my pals opening letters.
Make an invite list. I'm just going through like normal podcast sponsors, so I'm assuming it's going to be like stamps.com. But make an invite list.
Because, hey, imagine my pals
opening letters.
Opening letters. What are the opening letters of each of these lines?
MailChimp.
MailChimp. There we go.
And you smashed it. I was so good with the cellophane, and now I feel like a moron again.
So the recording light comes on. I got my eyes back in my head, and I put that square in the square space, and I wanted to send out a letter telling everybody about my great victories. But I have so many people to tell. How am I going to organize these letters I want to email?
I don't know. I guess you'll need to invoke the assistance of some kind of primate pal. That's what MailChimp is, right?
At stamps.bonobo. A bonobo will take your letters.
I've never used MailChimp.
And throw them at people.
And every night, the monkey butlers will regale you with jungle stories.
Exactly. That's what MailChimp can do for you. Go to squarespace.com/MailChimp. And they'll send out some emails and stuff. It's great.
Jason says, perfect, that is great. The recording light goes off again.
I don't think Jason knows what the word perfect means.
Look, I'm not a creative. I just assume you're doing your process or whatever.
Our listeners get it.
It's an in-joke. They're very funny.
So it's a what?
It's an in-joke. They're very funny.
What are you doing? He seems to tilt his head and go, okay.
Jason looks like the kind of guy who thinks security is everyone's responsibility. What a loser.
You see sort of Jason just sort of like look down slightly. Just like a little bit of spirit has left him. Like,
yeah, that sounds about right for these rooms.
I just need a minute to load the audio for the main section. I'll be back in a second.
Yeah, of course.
And then he's out.
All right. Now, what do we need to do? What haven't we done yet? We've gotten through some stuff there, which is good.
The computer and the phone would still be very still important to us.
Yeah.
You were just looking at the stuff on the music stand before Jason interrupted you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so. Are there any hints in here?
Okay, so these are the episode descriptions for the intro text for a few episodes.
Return to sender.
Button mash.
Spam emails. Is there anything representing like security or something like that that could give us the clue to get into the computer? Shareholders, market transactions. Spend enough time. You know, you read these out and you don't actually pay any attention to them. You just sort of read them.
Mm-hmm.
Jocks, early 2010s. Statisticians. Spam emails. Dating sites. Vapes. Button mash.
For anyone listening at home, no, you did not accidentally turn the podcast up to a 1.5 speed.
Is there any way to look at in the photo who the host of Button Mash are?
Sure. You go over and you find the name is Button Mash, and there is Billy Technology and Casey Cyberspace.
Love it.
Sorry, and they're wearing like cool 80s sunglasses.
I know, I'm nowhere near my microphone. I figure I'm not saying anything important.
Say something important into your microphone. Get...
When I have something to say, I'll say it.
I put both of those names in as different passwords to get into the computer. Weep, 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 weep.
These do have
numbers?
Like computer buttons in their titles. They... Insert, Alt, Control, and Return.
Ooh, can we press all those buttons on the keyboard?
I guess.
I press Insert, I hold Insert.
That's a weird password.
And Alt, and Control, and Enter.
Emergency combination entered, it says on the screen.
Good get.
You unlock the computer and hear a login chime that lasts 1.6 seconds and probably cost $400 million. You now see a page on the intranet that says, for all access requirements and security questions, please call security on extension 0451.
I get my phone.
You have the headset halfway to your ear when Jason sort of like points at his intercom again. Says,
are the NPCs usually so obstacly?
Yeah.
All right, I've loaded all the audio clips for the story this week. So I'll just get the two of you to introduce the story and then narrate the link between each of the clips. So just give me a signal when you want me to play the next one.
Hey, we don't have a story, do we?
Ready? Jason presses the recording button, the light comes on.
This week on Australian Gothic, we've got an interesting story to tell you. Jesse?
I mean, how much can we really say? There's not really much we can do to build this up any more than it already has, so I think we should just go straight into listening, because I'm really excited. We're just going to want to listen to this as soon as possible.
I'll just warn the listeners at home, this could get pretty graphic.
I'm Jules. I run the Visitors Centre here at Currawong Cove. I moved here because I loved the weather, the beach, the farmer's market, but mostly the community. People from all different walks of life getting along. Well, then, a few years ago, a huge parcel of land got bought up on the outskirts of town. No one knew who had bought it, and if they knew, no one was saying.
That's right. A ghost bought some land. It's Ghostland, everybody. Welcome to Australian Gothic Ghostland.
It's a pretty curious start, isn't it, Alex? I'm very interested to see where this is going.
That is my name. You know, I once bought some land in a place. I can't remember the name. It was like Burrawong Cove or something like that. I can't remember. I just bought a whole bunch of land. I didn't tell anybody about it. Which really, you know, it's pretty familiar with this sort of story coming in. So
spooky. This is happening all over the place.
It's crazy. It's happening all over
the
place.
Well, this isn't radio, so we don't have to cut to our ads or anything. So let's just get straight into it. Give the listeners what they want to hear.
My name's Vanessa Von Trapp, not of the Von Trapp family. No, seriously. I have a little cafe that I run. The walk-by traffic is next to none now, thanks to the development happening. I mean, there's no clear access via footpaths in the underground tunnel, the one that went underneath the train lines. Now you have to go right around Main Street and then left onto Davidson and then back up to George Street. And it's, I tell you what, it adds another 10 minutes to my journey every time.
That, yes. Mm-hmm. See, from Currawong Cove to George Street, everybody's annoyed by ghost development.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Something didn't feel right about that, did it? And you're not wrong. There's something weird going on here. And if you've spotted already, congratulations.
All right. Well, let's listen to the next one.
I was at school and I found that I was really good with timber. And so I would build and build and build. And then all of a sudden, there I was building homes, building sheds, building car parks, building everything. You give me a bit of wood and I'll build it. There is too much metal going on. I want greenery. I want organic matter back into our lives.
Unlike the inorganic matter of a ghost. These industrialist ghosts building all across the city, buying land in Currawong Cove, building in the city, and also hating trees, and building big old bits of metal everywhere. Everybody has their problems with ghosts. You've heard it here first. Ghosts are bad.
Roll the next one.
If I could change one thing about this town, I think it would be...
the ghosts.
I think it would be the attitude to people towards our children's future. I mean, that new project, it's incredible. And some people hate it so much. But I really like the designs on the walls. I think they did a really great job of helping it fit in with the community.
Some ghost sympathisers really ruin communities to me. But here in Currawong Cove, some people are pro-ghost building. It's really interesting the way some people will flock to the very things that are slowly eating their souls.
And she's bringing up the next generation. I mean, honestly, can you imagine bringing someone up in this kind of community?
In this kind of ghost town?
It's pretty
irresponsible.
What are we
going to
see next? Ghost rights? Ghost marriage?
It's a slippery ghost slope. God.
I think maybe it's one of Keith's cousins. You know, they're shifty. You see them in the back paddock. They're never really doing anything. They're always like they're between
planes of existence.
Something, and people are about to do something. You can't trust them. Shifty. Or maybe an out-of-towner. It's never too late to blame an out-of-towner.
Exactly how is that not friction between families about ghost marriage?
I mean, I think you've cracked the case, Jesse.
It was someone's cousin.
Yeah.
Who was getting married to some sort of,
ghost.
Well, I mean, that's the word around town. I mean, they just breezed in here. They bought
like
a parcel
ghost.
Of land out of nowhere.
Like a ghost.
Are they an out-of-towner or are they a ghost?
Or both. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a dead out-of-towner.
Where does this go next?
I get up in the morning and I make sure that all my windows are open so the summer breeze can come in. And then I go off to
and some ghosts.
I love it there. We're like a family. Nana Scott brings in her favourite scones and she shares them amongst all the workers. There's been a lot of 20-somethings leave. It's very, very sad. It means there's not as many weddings at the church. I love weddings.
But not ghost weddings. And that's the real problem.
This is the real, getting into the stage of reminiscing about what life used to be like.
before the
invasion.
I don't know if I want to host a show with you anymore, Jesse.
You know what?
Ghosts are scary, but they're people.
I'm just saying what everyone's thinking. We have been swamped by ghosts.
God. Oh.
Jason makes a sort of tugging at his collar gesture. Signals that there's one more clip left.
Jason tugs at his collar and then fades through the wall. next one.
Well, I like to say town historian. Other people say just nosy. I like to ask, how long have you been here? Has your mum been here long? Look, my motto is every change is a change for the worst. Yeah. And so because of this change, to me, this is an emotional Armageddon. You know what? If this town's going to hell in a handbasket, I am going to be here to record it. Damn it, I'm staying.
So, well, now I'm conflicted a little bit about this person's perspective. Because ghosts are kind of a symbol of not being able to change.
Mm. But they didn't used to be here. They're out-of-towner ghosts. They're fine with their normal ghosts, the local ghosts. It's when new ghosts come in from out of town with their big city ghost ways.
With their underground rail ghost trains.
Back in my day, ghosts haunted a single old house on the edge of town and they didn't go in. No one ever came out. And it was fine. You could coexist. Now they're building in town, getting married, forcing the 20-somethings out and putting hell into their ghostly handbasket and bringing it to town.
Jason leans into the intercom and says, great, thank you. That's a weird story, huh?
Yeah, and ghost builders.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever thinks about this consequence of it. Everyone's just going, oh, yeah, ghosts, do I believe in them or not? That's not the important question here.
While you're asking whether ghosts are real, they're buying land, insinuating themselves into your community.
Marrying your cousins.
Marrying your cousins.
Jason,
they don't appreciate wood. Good old honest wood. Working with your hands on a bit of wood. Ghosts don't even have hands.
Yeah, they're always playing with their dead wood. Jason, just give me a second to label the files properly and I'll be ready to record the intro. One moment.
Right. Quickly, get the phone.
I grab the phone and I dial 1-800 dial a ghost.
Hello, you've reached dial a ghost.
You can do the phone ringing this whole time and you didn't. You let me struggle.
We're wondering if you'd like to comment on what's going on in Currawong Cove at the moment with all the ghost development. If you had any comment as a representative of the ghost community, whether you'd like to denounce or announce what they're doing.
Generally, we support ghost rights. We think they're a misunderstood group, and there's been a lot of bigotry presented in the media, so we're going to advocate for their rights, but we're not in a position to comment on specific cases at this point.
Okay, no comment. It's not going to look good, but all right. I hang up.
451.
I put in 045 ghost.
Sorry, yeah, there's a ghost button. A lot of people under 10 won't remember the ghost button. It's right next to the asterisk.
Now they're all like, oh, what's this, like, it's a Snapchat button?
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Oh, I printed out a floppy disk.
It's
no,
an old ghost button.
I just said I printed called, out of...
Before it was called the hashtag, it was called ghost.
I realized I said I printed out a floppy disk. I meant to say someone saw a floppy disk and said that they printed out a save button.
All right. I put in 0451.
All right, you enter the number and almost immediately someone picks up and says, hello, this is Janine, security control room.
Janine, you got to let us out.
Sorry, who are you?
Oh, Jesse and Alex, sorry. Alex was meant to have both of our ID cards.
Sorry,
and...
someone's talking very faintly. They're away from the handset of the phone, it sounds like.
No.
oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they're fine. Okay, I pass the phone to Danny.
To whom?
Well, you are Danny. We're not tricking anybody right now.
Hi, this is Jesse and Alex, and Alex was meant to be in charge of our ID cards.
Oh, Jesse, you sound different. Are you okay? Are you unwell?
No, this is the first time I have been well.
Oh.
Thanks.
Sorry, I didn't want to... Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got over that sinus infection.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we just left our ID cards. We just didn't have our ID cards. And so
You what?
Oh, sorry, we didn't.
Oh, no, I could hear you. I was just shocked. You're supposed to have your ID card on you at all times. It's company policy.
Right.
You know what? I think Casey Cyberspace stole them from us. He bumped into me in the hall on my way in and he was like, whoops, dude. Well, I'll see you later. Don't forget your ID badge. And then he walked out real quick on
his
skateboard.
That's uncanny. That sounds just like Casey Cyberspace.
Oh, yeah, and then he skated out and he did like an ollie and it was real cool. And then he like held up three ID cards that I couldn't quite see, which I thought was weird because he should only have one. But, you know, I thought, okay. And then I came in to give Jessie her ID card, which I'd taken out for cleaning. And then we just didn't have them.
So how did you get into the studio?
Door was open.
Someone's left a door open.
One of Casey's skateboards was in the door, keeping it open.
And we came in to make a report about such a thing because, as we know...
I mean, bloody Casey.
No, as we know, security...
Oh, yeah, security is everyone's responsibility.
Thank you. Finally, someone's getting the message. I'm glad the information came out. We're actually setting up a security responsibility group across the organization. People who are interested in security. Do you want to join that?
Without a doubt.
Oh, that's great. Thank
you. Keep those ghosts out of the building.
Is there any extra research and any activities that you want us to come up with in the meantime? Because when the first meetup happens, we will be so ready for it.
Look, if you can come up with some catchy slogans to spread awareness, if you can create a roster, just all of those things help. Look, this has been great. Thanks, gang. And then Janine hangs up.
Janine! I dial 0451.
Hello, Janine. This is control room.
What about some ID cards? We can't get out of this room.
You can't. I knew you were calling me for a reason. Yeah, I'll be there in a second. Can't Jason let you out?
He doesn't want to.
What?
He doesn't believe in us as people.
That's
awful. You know how Jason works.
Let me call Jason.
No, hang up.
And then you see Jason through the window take off his headphones.
Conspiracy. It's
like,
all
look
Casey.
Around, answer the phone. And you see a sort of, a bit of nodding. And then Jason sort of slowly turns and stares at the both of you. And you see confusion on your face. I feel bad for laying into you about trying to mime someone being behind a pane of glass before. This is really hard. Oh, my goodness. And then sort of you used to say, like, sort of shaking his head and then vehemently, like, waving his arms and, like, jabbing his finger on the table and eyeballs the two of you again and puts the phone down. Then you get a call on your telephone. Oh, Janine Bang there.
I answer. I say, hello?
It's Janine from the control room here. Jason says he's been nothing but lovely to you this whole time. He says that you're the ones who've been messing around, looking at photos and pulling gum off chairs and messing with his recording light. And he says that the room's slightly echoey because you took one of the panels off the door. He says that the whole takes have been ruined. You're going to have to do them again. But look, it's fine. I'll come get you.
All right.
Wait, are you saying that if you don't, Jason is just going to leave us here?
Well, he's already faded out of the room.
You hear the intercom. I don't know what I did to you two. Look, if Janine's on her way up, she said, if you can just record the outro for me.
Yeah, sure.
Got to be honest, Jason, it was the in-joke thing. I mean...
No, we'll do it. We'll do the outro. Here we go.
Yeah, great. If you can just... Jen says that you usually end with a hilarious anecdote. If you wouldn't mind just dropping that for me. Thank you.
Yeah,
then the recording light goes on.
Now, we often record with some really talented people. The staff here, they're just wonderful. They really help us out. Sound engineers especially. But today we had Jason. And remember that time that Jason... pooped his pants and he fell down. He was like, oh no, I pooped my pants. Wasn't that funny? Wasn't that a hilarious anecdote, Jesse?
And then when Casey's skateboard went flying through the air.
No, Casey's cool.
No. Totally,
Casey's a real cool guy.
Yeah, Casey wasn't there. Casey was great, but his skateboard went flying through the air and hit Jason on the head.
Oh, yeah. and he fell down.
And he landed on the skateboard.
And then rolled out of the building and down the stairs.
With his poop pants.
Oh, what a loser.
That's
Australian Gothic.
The two of you look up and there's no one in the engineer's room. Jason has left.
Oh, I guess he's ghosted us.
Just at that moment, you hear a beeping noise coming from the swipe pad. And the door makes a satisfying clicking, sliding sound as it unlocks. And there's... when they're in a sort of security uniform, the two of you push your way.
Be ready to ambush.
Say, like, yeah, Jason's just in there. You push your way out into the corridor. You make your way back down the corridor you came in through, brushing past two familiar looking people coming the other way. You hear sounds of crying coming from the men's bathrooms, which you assume is Jason. As you make your way out, you hear the strains of the conversation of the people who just entered the room through the hallway. Hey, sorry we're late. We got caught in traffic. I'm Jesse, this is Alex. Yeah, wait, sorry, who said they were the hosts?
And at that point, I take off my mask and I've been Casey Cyberspace the whole time and I get on my skateboard and I go, later, losers, and then I slide away.
And I take off my mask and I'm...
a ghost.
Your cousin's ghost.
Congratulations, you solved my podcast riddle.
I'm in too deep. I can't feel sorry for Jason now. I've got to block that part out.